faithfulness to the house of God. It's such a great and wonderful blessing to all of us as we come together, and I thank God for it. We'll continue this evening with the preaching series we've been in the book of Revelation. This is the 13th sermon, Revelation, and what we're doing tonight and for at least one or two more nights as we finish up this series is to look at and try to answer some of the hard and tough questions that folks have about end-time events and the book of Revelation specifically. And in fact, I just want to make sure if you would like, if you have questions that you'd like answered, feel free to send me an email, and I'll do my best to get back to you and give you an answer or to the best of my ability, the Word of God, and share best I can an answer. So if you've got some questions that we don't address that you'd like to ask, please send it to me. I know Brother Cecil did, and I was able to dig up some information and send it back to him. Hopefully it was something that was helpful to him as well. So tonight we begin with this question. Doesn't the Bible say that the gospel must be preached to the whole world before Jesus can return? How many of you have heard sermons preached and comments made over the years that, you know, part of what our initiative is for missions is to make sure that we reach the whole world because Christ won't return until we do that? You don't know what I'm saying. Does that belief, does that mean that the rapture of the church can't occur until the whole world hears the gospel? That's a reasonable question, isn't it? Let's see what the Word of God says. The Bible does not say that the whole world must hear the gospel before the rapture. The Bible does say that the whole world must hear the gospel before Jesus return to this earth. And there's a difference. Jesus, in fact, is the one himself who said this in Matthew in the 24th chapter in verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world for a witness to all the nations, and then the end shall come. That statement by Christ relates to his return to this earth at his second coming. Speaking of his literal, physical return to this earth. The Bible says when he returns, he will stand on the Mount of Olives. That's the physical return of Christ. That is not the rapture. That is the second phase of the second coming, if you want to call it that way. He steps out on the clouds. He calls us with him home to heaven. We're with him during the great tribulation. We're saved from the wrath of God that comes on the earth during the tribulation. Then at the end of the tribulation period, that's when Christ literally comes back to this earth. That's when he physically comes back. And so that scripture, the words of Christ, that all of the nations of the world will hear the preaching of the gospel and then the end will come, that is speaking of his physical return at the end of the tribulation. Again, the rapture is not his physical return. You may remember that during the tribulation, there's going to be a lot of preaching of the gospel. For example, the preaching of the 144,000, of each one, 12,000 of each tribe of the Jews. They'll all be sealed at the beginning of the tribulation. The Bible says in Revelation 7 and 3 that they will serve as servants. Now, a true servant is of God. It is one that shares the message of the gospel. And these 144,000, they're going to be sharing the message of who Christ is and that their salvation under no other name but the name of Jesus. The gospel is also going to be proclaimed according to the Word of God, specifically in the book of Revelation. It's going to be proclaimed by the two witnesses. Those two witnesses reviewed that part of Revelation chapter 13. Let me just review it again. Revelation chapter 11, verses 3 through 7. And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. That's 3.5 years they'll be prophesying. These are the two olive trees, the two lampstands standing before the God of the earth. And if anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. And if anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this manner. These have power to shut heaven so that no rain falls in the days of their prophecy. And they have power over the waters to turn into blood and to strike the earth with all plagues as often as they desire. These two witnesses have that power. You may recall that when we reviewed chapter 11, I shared with you that I felt like that the two witnesses would likely be Elijah and Enoch. Neither of them had ever tasted death. They were both taken straight to heaven. They never died. And they represent all of mankind. Elijah prophesied to the Jews and Enoch prophesied to the Gentiles. Now, nobody knows for sure who these two witnesses will be. That's just speculation. I want to be real clear on that. I'm not telling you that's what the Bible says. I'm just saying that's speculation based on the reasons I've given you tonight. Others believe that it's going to be Moses and Elijah who appeared with Christ at the Transfiguration. So, and it could be. Based on the certain things that they do. One of them shuts up rain from heavens. That's what Elijah did, if you remember, in the Old Testament. And then one turns the water into blood. If you remember, by the power of God through Moses, the water was turned to blood. So it could be Moses and Elijah. We do know there's going to be two witnesses, that's for sure. At the end of the tribulation, right before the pouring out of the bowls of wrath, God in His grace and mercy is also going to send an angel to the earth, and that angel is going to circle the globe, and it's going to be preaching the eternal gospel according to the word of God to every nation, tribe, and tongue and people. That's in Revelation 14 and verse 6. So you get a lot of preaching going on, preaching of who Christ is, giving them the hope of Christ, the 144,000, the two witnesses, the angel circling the earth, all of them declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ, salvation in Jesus Christ, and there will be millions of people saved during the tribulation. Here's another question that is often asked. Does the rapture mark the beginning of the tribulation? In other words, as soon as the rapture occurs, is the next day, day one of the tribulation, meaning that the 7 years countdown begins immediately after the rapture. And the short answer is no. The short answer is no. The Bible does not state anywhere that the tribulation begins immediately day after the rapture. Now, it doesn't say that it doesn't begin either, okay? It's not clear. There's no specific scripture that gives us a specific day that's the beginning of the Great Tribulation. In theory, because the Bible isn't clear on this, the rapture may occur months or even years before the tribulation begins. I don't think that's likely, and I'll share with you why I feel that way. I think it's likely that the tribulation will begin very shortly after the rapture, because the tribulation is the period of pouring out God's wrath. We're told in 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 10 that Jesus will deliver His church from the wrath to come. So the rapture takes the church out of the earth, because rapture is the salvation, it is the safety for all of us, and then the wrath of God comes upon the earth. Another reason that I and many folks believe that the tribulation will begin shortly after, not sure how many days or weeks or months, but shortly after the rapture, the tribulation will begin, is found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that says that the Antichrist cannot be revealed until a restrainer, so to speak, I use that word restrainer, is taken out of the way. Again, there's lots of different thoughts about who that restrainer or what that restrainer is. Many folks believe that the restrainer is the Holy Spirit. My only problem with that, and it could be, by the way, it could be, my only problem with that is that the Bible teaches us that no one is saved without the work of the Spirit. So how do people get saved if the Holy Spirit's still not here doing that work in men's hearts? Others believe that restrainer is the church, and it's the work of the Holy Spirit through the church. And so the church is removed. That's the restrainer. And when the church is removed, then the Antichrist will be revealed and unleashed, and tribulation period will begin. Another ideal of the beginning of the tribulation can be found in the book of Daniel. Daniel's prophecy, Daniel's a prophet, he states that the starting point of the tribulation will be a covenant that the Antichrist will arrange for Israel that will evidently guarantee Israel's peace. And during that peace, that time of peace where the Antichrist comes into a peace agreement with Israel, that's the period of time that many people believe that the temple is rebuilt in those early months and year of the beginning of the tribulation. Listen to these words with me found in Daniel 9 and 27. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. He is the Antichrist. When he says will confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, you remember Daniel's weeks of years. A week would be 7 years. So in this example, the covenant with many for 1 week would be a covenant for 7 years. But it goes on to say, Daniel goes on to say, but in the middle of the week, meaning in the middle of the 7 years, in 3.5 years, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. He, the Antichrist, will do that. And on the wing of abomination shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation which is determined is poured out on the desolate, that he'll eventually be destroyed because of what he does. He blasphemes God in the temple. He brings, many believe he brings a swine and sacrifices a swine in the Jewish temple and desecrates the temple, and that is the second half of the tribulation where God's wrath begins to pour out. Another question. Will children be taken in the rapture? I'm just curious. Anybody ever had that question or thought about it or had a discussion about it? I'm just curious. Anybody? Exactly. Will children be taken in the rapture? If you remember Tim LaHaye's Left Behind series, now I don't agree with everything Tim LaHaye did or said or created. It was a great series, really helps you think about things, but doesn't mean that every single thing he did was perfectly biblically correct, in my opinion. But it doesn't mean he's a great guy. Don't get me wrong on that. But in that Left Behind series, he gets into something that I really think is correct. And that, yes, children will be taken during the rapture. He believes that strongly if you look at that series in the book or the movie. The problem is that the Bible does not specifically answer that question. Nowhere does the Bible tell us that the children will be raptured or they won't be raptured. It's not really addressed. Well, Tim LaHaye, he presents his reasoning for his conviction that the children will be raptured in this statement. It goes along the lines of what you just said. This is what Tim LaHaye wrote. Up to a certain age, which is probably different for each individual, we believe God will not hold a child accountable for a decision for Christ that must be made with heart and mind of understanding, fully aware of ramifications. You may also find that unborn children, you listen to this part? You may also find that unborn children have disappeared from their mother's wombs. Now, that's not your pastor saying that. That's not the Bible saying it. I want everybody to leave here thinking pastor said that and the Bible said it. Those are the words of Tim LaHaye. That's just his ideals or his theories about certain things. That at the rapture, not only will all the children who have not reached the age of accountability, meaning the accountable so that they have to make a decision for or against Christ, but even the little babies in a mother's womb would also be raptured and they would no longer be in the mother's womb. I've never thought of that, but I thought it's an interesting thought. I do believe firmly, I personally believe that children who die before the age of accountability, a little 3 or 4 year old child, if a little 3 or 4 year old child, a little child dies before the age of accountability, they will go to heaven. God's not going to send that child to eternal damnation in hell. They haven't reached the age of accountability. God's grace and mercy. I believe the children will go to heaven with us during the rapture. I think children that have not reached the age of accountability, they're not responsible for any decisions to be made for Christ, that God will not suffer those little children to be on this earth and receive all of the wrath that comes on this earth. I just don't believe God of love will do that. Does the Bible say that? No. It doesn't. It's not clear on this subject at all. It's just not. But I'm just sharing with you theories and ideals and thoughts. Yes. Next question is, will all saved people who have ever lived, including Old Testament saints, will they all be raptured in resurrection during the rapture, I should say? Will they all be resurrected during the rapture? Let me restate that question, everybody get it straight. Will all saved people who have ever lived, including Old Testament saints, be resurrected at the rapture? Now somebody's thinking about it. I can see wheels moving in your brains right there. The answer is no. The answer is no. The Bible is very specific and clear on this subject. Daniel gives details of the resurrection of the Old Testament saints in the last verse of Daniel chapter 11, verse 45, and also then in chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I'm going to read these verses for you, and you'll get the meaning of what Daniel is saying here. Verse 45, he says, he, speaking of the Antichrist, will stop between the glorious holy mountain and the sea and will pitch his royal tents, but while he is there, his time will suddenly run out and no one will help him. He's speaking of the great mass of the army of the Antichrist in the Valley of Jezreel, or Armageddon as it's referred to, the last great battle at the end of the tribulation period, when the army from the east is in insurrection against the leadership of the Antichrist and there's a great battle. They want to destroy Jerusalem and Israel, and Jesus comes back and destroys all of those armies all at once. So those words by Daniel, when he speaks of in verse 45, the Antichrist stops between the glorious holy mountain and the sea to pitch his tents, and while he's there, he suddenly time will run out. He'll be no more. That's when Christ comes and destroys them all. Then it continues in Daniel. The next verse says, at that time, everybody hearing that? At that time, the archangel who stands guard over your nation, he's speaking of Israel, speaking to the Jews, that archangel that stands guard over your nation will arise, and there will be a time of anguish greater than since nations first came into existence. But at that time, every one of your people, speaking of Jews, whose name is written in the book, God's book, meaning that loved the Lord and served God and had faith in God, will be rescued. Many of those whose bodies lie dead and buried will rise up, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting disgrace. The resurrection of the Old Testament saints will occur at the end of the tribulation. They will not be resurrected at the rapture. The Bible is very clear on that. We clearly see this, that when he says your people, he's speaking to the Jews, and they suddenly come to awake to life everlasting. It's found very clearly there. Sinning God, Christ had never been preached to them. Christ, the message of grace and the salvation message to the cross, they're not responsible for that because they've never heard it. It wasn't available to them. But if they lived a life of faith, trusting in our Heavenly Father, believing in Him, and walking with God, their names are in the book. The Old Testament saints, Moses is going to be in heaven. All of the other saints that were faithful, that loved God in the Old Testament, their resurrection will occur at the end of the Great Tribulation. Next question. Can people still be saved after the rapture? Now, I think we've addressed this quite a bit during the course of this study. Everybody understands the answer is yes, I hope. There will be a great harvest of souls after the rapture. I don't know about you, but when I'm praying for those friends and family members that are lost, I'm praying that they'll get saved, that they'll never go through the tribulation. But I'm also praying, but if for some reason, somehow, they never accepted Christ before the rapture, the resurrection of the saints, and they're left behind, so to speak, that somehow, even in that state, that they'll remember the gospel that was preached, the messages that they've heard, the times they've been in church and heard the truth of who Christ is. It'll ring in their minds and their hearts. They'll be convicted, and they'll say yes to the Savior. So, yes, there's going to be a great harvest of souls. The Bible makes it very clear in Revelation, in the 7th chapter, verses 9, 10, and then 13 through 14. Listen to these words with me. After this, I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation and tribe and people and language standing in front of the throne before the Lamb of God. Listen to that description. A vast crowd from every nation, tribe, and tongue, too many to count, standing before God's throne, before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes, held palm branches in their hands. They were shouting with a great roar, "Salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb." Then verse 13. Then one of the 24 elders asked me, "Who are these who are clothed in white? Where did they come from?" And I said to him, "Sir, you are the one who knows." Then he said to me, "These are the ones who died in the great tribulation. They have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb and made them white." I mean, these are the ones, there's so many you can't count them. These are the ones that got saved, that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, ask Him to forgive them of their sins, confess their faith in Him during the great tribulation. Most of them died a martyr's death, but they're in heaven worshiping God with you and me. Hallelujah. There are a lot of folks who are going to get saved during the tribulation. I believe some will get convicted just by the rapture itself. There's going to be family members and friends or those just by the rapture itself and us suddenly being gone. The conviction will come on them and they will just pour out their heart to Jesus. Some are going to be converted by the preaching of the 144,000 Jews. Others will just repent in response to God's judgments. All the wrath and the judgments that begin to come on the earth will cause many to finally repent. And Isaiah 26 verse 9 declares that. Others will respond to the two witnesses. Others will respond to that angel circling the world, declaring the good news of Jesus Christ. There'll be a lot of opportunities for people on this earth to know Christ as their Savior. Last question here is, Revelation speaks of two resurrections. And yet, if you look at the Bible, it would seem to suggest that end time events describe more than two resurrections. And I know some of you are looking at me like, "What do you mean, Pastor?" Let me share with you specifically. Resurrections, first of all, number one, there will be the resurrection of the church age saints at the time of the rapture. That's recorded specifically in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. Most of us are familiar with that scripture. That's the rapture. That's the resurrection of everyone who's died in Christ. It rises. We have a meeting in the air, and we all go to heaven. Number two, at the end of the tribulation, we mentioned this already, the Old Testament saints and the tribulation martyrs will be resurrected. That will occur at the end of the tribulation. Again, we gave this scripture and the references in Daniel and others to make reference to that. Revelation 20 and 4 says, "And I saw thrones, and people sitting on them had been given the authority to judge. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their testimony about Jesus and for proclaiming the word of God. They've not worshipped the beast or his statue nor accepted his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. They all came to life again, and they reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. They came to life again. At the end of that tribulation, they're resurrected. All the Old Testament saints are resurrected. And we talked about that in Daniel 12, 1 and 2. And then there's another resurrection. And the resurrection of the unbelievers. The resurrection of the unbelievers who lived outside and died outside of a faith relationship with God. They will all be resurrected at the end of the millennial reign of Christ. And they will all stand before the white throne judgment of God. And none of their names are written in the Lamb's book of life because they are the unjust. They are the unrighteous, as the Bible calls them. And they'll stand before God. In fact, let me give you that scripture in Revelation 20, 11 and 12. "I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, and from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, both great and small, standing before God's throne. The books were opened, including the book of life, and the dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books." Their name's not in the book of life, but they would have already been resurrected. It's the resurrection of those that were unrighteous. That is the third resurrection, isn't it? As we looked at it tonight. So then the question becomes, well, if the Bible speaks of two resurrections, The Bible speaks of one resurrection is called a resurrection of life, and another resurrection of judgment. Then if there's a resurrection of life and a resurrection of judgment, how is it that we say there's three resurrections? Well, the answer is this. The Bible speaks, when it says or makes reference to two resurrections, it's speaking of two in kind, not in number. It's speaking of two types of resurrection, not the number of resurrections. One in kind is the resurrection of the righteous. Now, that's two different events, isn't it? Actually, there's three. We'll look at that in just a minute. And the other is the resurrection of the unrighteous, and that's one event that occurs at the end of the millennium. So the resurrection of the unjust, or those that didn't believe, that only it happens one time, and that's at the end of the millennium. It's Revelation chapter 20 and verse 7. It tells us that it occurs after the 1,000 years has expired. But the resurrection of the righteous, really, can I tell you, that's really in three stages. The first stage is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's the first fruits, isn't he? The Bible makes it very clear. He's dead. He's put in the grave. He's dead for 3 days, and he comes out alive. He's the first fruits. And he destroys death and Hades and hell with his resurrection. Because he arose, we have hope today that we also will live eternally. So number one, it's the resurrection of Jesus, stage one. Stage number two is the resurrection of the church saints. That occurs at the rapture of the church. And then stage three is the resurrection of the tribulation martyrs and the Old Testament saints. And that occurs at the end of the tribulation period. So all three of these make up what the Bible refers to as the first resurrection. That's the first resurrection, though there's three stages to it. The second resurrection, that's the resurrection of all the sinners, all the unjust that are resurrected, stand before God's throne, and they will be sent to eternal damnation in separation from God. So those are some tough questions that we tried to go through tonight. I encourage you, send me an email. It's a little bit better if you'll send me an email with any questions rather than me catching it on the fly, just because when recording this, and sometimes your question may not get recorded, so when I'm talking, somebody listens to the recording later, they might not have any idea what I'm talking about. So if you'll send them to me, I'll do my best to either respond to you in writing, or we'll address them here in the next session. Next time, when we're here again next Wednesday night, we're going to answer a few more tough questions. Will Russia invade Israel? Is the United States portrayed in Revelation chapter 18. Where will the Antichrist headquarters be located? Will the marriage feast of the Lamb, will that be in heaven or will that be here on earth? And will we know each other in heaven? That's Sherry's favorite one. Will we know each other in heaven? Those are a few more. If you have some other questions, send them to me and we'll do our best to address them. Our best to address them according to what the Word of God declares, not just different ideals. Sometimes, as we've noted already tonight, sometimes the Word of God is not clear at all on a specific question we have, like the ideal of the children, things like that. And when it's that way, I do my best to tell you that I can't give you a scripture and I can't support it with the Bible, so it just becomes an ideal or a thought. And I want to be real clear on that when we're having these sessions, okay? Everybody good with that? Everybody still love the Lord tonight? Aren't you glad your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Aren't you thankful that our hope is heaven? Aren't you thankful that we know the outcome of this, all the junk that's going on in the world today, all the stuff that we see happening that's so disheartening, that's so discouraging, that can even be frightening for many people? We all know how it ends, because God's going to take us home. He's going to call us home, and I thank God for that hope that we have. And it can happen any time, any moment, any day. There is nothing in the Bible, prophetically or in any other way, that would stop the immediate and sudden call of Jesus to step in on that cloud and the trump to sound for us to go home. Amen? Amen. Are you ready? Oh, I'm ready. I'm ready. Well, we'll conclude tonight with our review of the names on our prayer list.